Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you for second time now into the podcast, Shane Barker, founder and CEO of TraceFuse, which I would say is the top solution out there when it comes to helping Amazon sellers really figure out how to remove those negative reviews, something that we all struggle so much. And when we see that one-star review, we start panicking, but don't worry, Shane is going to come and help you there. So Shane, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you for a second time now. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Yeah, I was excited, man. We got number two, man. I know that, God, it's been a few years since we've chatted. I know lots
like
changed
2 years.
With you. Yeah, it's crazy. Like you were, I think you were one of the first people that had me on the podcast. I think you were one of the first people that actually talked about us way before we've blown up like we have. So once again, I appreciate that and the invite back, man. I'm excited to be here.
Always. I'm sure a lot has changed since then. So, you know, I'm very intrigued to have that conversation. But before we go into that, just give us, you know, a brief intro in case people don't know, you know, so about your company, and then we go from there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, my name is Shane Barker. I'm the owner of TraceFuse. And so what we do is we help Amazon sellers remove critical reviews that violate Amazon's guidelines. So it's not going to be just reviews that you don't like. You're going to potentially get some of those. And those aren't the ones that we focus on. We really focus on the ones that violate Amazon's own rules, right? When we talk about guidelines. So that's going to be mentioning pricing, competitors, cussing, hate speech, anything FBA related. So if anything was shipped out late, broken, or used. And then also fraud. We also take a look at fraud as well. We've added on, since the last 2 years, we've had quite a few more features that we've added on, obviously, because, you know, talking with sellers and learning what they, the things that they like, things that they don't like, and then what we can do to improve the program and the software. So yeah, that's really what we do in a nutshell, man. We're really here to kind of even the playing field for sellers, because we know it's already hard enough to build a brand and to be successful, and between tariffs and PPC and just the million other things that go into that. And then when you get a review, you know, a critical review, a 1, 2, or 3 star, man, it's tough, man. It's like getting punched in the face. I have, it's funny when I talk to like beginning sellers and they're like, oh, I got one bad review. And I'm like, listen, if you're going to be successful, you're going to get bad reviews. Like that's the guarantee. So you got to get over that fact of like, oh shoot, I'm going to get negative reviews, because you will. The only way to be successful is to get negative reviews. I mean, honestly, I'm not saying strive to get negative reviews, but when you're out there, things are going to happen. Not everybody's going to love your product. People can attack you. Things can happen. And our goal is to be able to go in and get those reviews removed so they can focus on everything else they need to focus on, right? You know, this is a brand owner.
Yeah.
There's a million things you got to worry about. And so we're trying to take reviews away. We want to make sure that we'll take care of that. We'll file cases. We even monitor them moving forward. Our goal is to be able to say, hey, don't worry about, you know, the critical reviews, the 1, 2s, and 3s. I want you guys to focus on the 10 million other things you've got to worry about.
Yeah. I think it's actually something that people don't understand when it comes to negative reviews, is that it's actually an opportunity as well for you to improve, because sometimes they're telling you exactly why they're having a bad experience or why they wouldn't come back. And you can use that to either launch a better version or figure out how to stop that mistake from happening, because that, especially if it happens early on, sometimes you can save a product as well, you know? So, yeah.
This is what I tell everybody. It's like, if you get a bad review or a critical review, don't let that bring you down, right? As you said, use that as something positive, because then what you can do, because this is what I can tell you, if you're a newer seller, anybody that was selling a product 10 years ago and they're still selling today, they've made changes, they've made iterations, they've made improvements. And the only way that you know if you're failing or not doing well, if somebody doesn't ever tell you, you assume things are going good from sales. Right. If things aren't going good, you go, what's going on? You want to know what's going on. Right. So that, of course, it kind of sucks to have it online and everybody to see what your pain points are. But that is an opportunity. I mean, that's why when people go, oh, I need to get rid of this review. And I'm like, well, that's not something we specialize in, because it doesn't violate Amazon's guidelines. But take this as a learning opportunity. Take this as constructive criticism. Right. Because now what you need to do is you need to go, if you hear something 3 times in a row, in the last week, well, guess what? Maybe there's something wrong with your packaging or your product, or you need to, people don't know how to use it, right? There's obviously that big thing too. Yeah. A lot of people go, well, people are using the product wrong, so I want to get that review down. I get that, but that's not what we do, but I can understand how that's frustrating. But that also gives you an opportunity. Okay, a lot of people are not knowing how to use the product. So if you want less returns, guess what? You need to figure out what that solution is. And so there is value in negative reviews. I'm not saying go out and get them, obviously, but if you get them, take a step back and say, okay, somebody's not attacking me, right? They're just giving me some constructive criticism, as long as it's that, as long as you aren't being attacked, because that could be happening too. But the idea of this is, evaluate it, take a look at it and say, okay, what can I do to make my product or you know, obviously product on Amazon better? What do I need to do to make that happen, right? And that's can be some very, very valuable information.
Yeah. And I think it's something I would like to actually bring to the table is like, what is actually some, I guess, the criteria that Amazon has to put in place to actually, you know, really allow sellers to understand if potentially a negative review it can be removed or not? Because of course we're having the conversation that some negative reviews of course are genuine and people is complaining and there's nothing you can do about it. But let's be honest, most of the people that struggle with negative reviews is also because they've been attacked by competitors, right? Or there's been something shady happening there. And that's where you guys can come in and really protect this seller. So I guess high level we can start and then go into the technicalities. Like, what are you observing? Is this an issue that sellers are still experiencing? And if so, what is Amazon maybe doing to combat this, if anything?
Yeah. So, I mean, Amazon does, it's hard to say. Now, I do know that Amazon is doing their part and whatever that may be. And what I mean by that is they, you know, I think they have a press release. They said they stopped, I don't know, it's like 280 million or some crazy amount of reviews. So it's hard for us to, you know, we don't know how many actually come in the floodgates, right? We don't know if there's 50 a day or 10 billion a day, which I think we know there's more than 50. But the point is there's a lot that come through, and Amazon does have their systems, their, you know, machine learning and different things that they do to be able to stop those reviews. But really we're kind of, I look at us as like that second layer of protection, right? Like if Amazon misses it, because if there's millions that happen on a daily basis, like anything, no matter what industry you're in, there's always somebody that's going to try to game the system, right? I grew up in the SEO space, so everybody's always trying to figure out a way to get higher in Google. Well, it's the same thing with Amazon, right? And so, you know, and that involves sometimes being attacked. That involves sometimes people attacking your brand, which is obviously not an ethical way to do things, not recommended. I understand that a lot of people or some people do it because they've been attacked. There's things that go on, but at the end of the day, it's like you got to think about doing ethical business and once again, making sure that bad things don't happen to you. If those reviews come in, obviously you want to be able to have somebody like ourselves, if you don't have an internal team, to be able to take that on and be able to keep your listings clean. I mean, that really is the goal. We go, we grab those reviews, we clean them up, we get it, and then we monitor you moving forward so that if you guys get attacked on Prime Day or before Christmas or really any time of the year, we can take a look at those reviews. We're going to take a look at it, and then we obviously file manually with Amazon. We don't use any AI or anything to file with them. So cool. That is, you know, you got to look at that.
Yeah. Now you mentioned something there, which is, I'm sure people asking themselves this question, which is the seasonality effect. Like we're talking about this before going live, which is a lot of people might be reactive to this rather than preventive, right? Rather than thinking I should be doing this constantly to keep my my listings healthy. They only react, oh, Prime Day is coming, I need to fix my reviews. Oh, Christmas is coming. And sometimes it's too late, let's be honest. I feel this is actually something you should be doing on a monthly basis, not something that you only do once. So what is your take on that as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my big thing is always to be, you know, proactive instead of reactive, right? I mean, that really is the thing. I get it. So I'm also, you know, I am also that guy. Like if I'm going to get a haircut, I'll call my barber the day of and he's always booked out a week. Like, so I'm like, oh man, I'm like, well, imagine if I would just book it out, because I know I want to get a haircut, let's say every month. If I just booked it out ahead of time, I wouldn't have to do that. So I do it all the time. And every time I kick myself in the butt for it, because it's like, of course he's not going to be available today. If he's available today, then he's a terrible barber, right? Like if he has no appointment. So that's, and so I think about that. But it's what I tell, you know, Amazon sellers is like, hey, at the end of the day, you want to start ahead of time, right? You want to, you don't want to, you can't, you get a hold of me 2 weeks before Christmas or Prime Day. There's a ramp up period. Amazon, we're filing cases. Amazon might not respond to those cases. We have to file multiple cases a lot of the time. So you have to think about this and say, okay, if you want to be ready for Christmas, I'm not saying it's too late right now. We're in October, but you want to do it as soon as possible. Yeah. You know, people reach out 2 weeks before and say, hey, what can you do? We can get the process started, right? But that's like with anything you do in life, right? Whether that be PPC, oh, I need to get more sales in the next 2 weeks. It's like, Okay, well, yeah. There's a lot of work that goes into that. It's not just we wave a wand and then all of a sudden magic happens, right? Like, you want to do that ahead of time and think about, okay, hey, how am I going to prepare for 6 months? And we can start today. Great, clean up that listing. The good part is, and then after that, it's just monitoring, right? Then you're only going to have, when they come in, we're going to be all over it. So the cleanup part is the part that, you know, takes a little bit of time. But once we're there, great, now we can be proactive about that. So always think, try to think ahead of time, right? You don't want to think, because you have to look at it, especially if you're at a 4.3 and you're like, man, I don't know when I'm going to drop down to 4.2 and we're going into really any time here, but a big sales time. You got to think about that, because a competitor could look at that and say, you know what, if I hit them with 5 more critical reviews, they drop down to a 4.2. I go up on the BSR, they go down, or I guess the opposite, right? We want to get as close as we can to 1. Then guess what? That's a situation. And so you don't want to put yourself, I would look at it and say, okay, if I was attacked, how am I prepared for that, right? If this was to happen, hopefully it doesn't happen. But if it does, I always expect the worst. I want the best, but I expect the worst, right? Just because you got to be ready for that. And so be proactive and don't be reactive. You can still reach out to us. We'll do everything we can, but we can't expect miracles, right? I mean, that's going to be, we're here. We do good work, but we can't do miracles. Not yet, anyways.
Yeah. So now let's talk about type of negative reviews. I guess that's also something that people need to be mindful of. It's like not all negative reviews to some extent are going to be valid for removal. Like as we mentioned, some of them might actually be real feedback. So from, you know, the work you're doing with so many Amazon sellers, do you have some categories you could potentially bucket these reviews into, like maybe based on what they write? Is there something like that that you can share with us?
Yeah. Yeah, so we do. I mean, obviously, there's certain categories that have more types of critical reviews and types of things. I mean, that usually for us is what we see is like supplements, beauty, pet. Okay. Usually, the reason why that is because these are all going to be items where the lifetime value is longer. So, I mean, obviously, if you use makeup, women have a certain makeup that they use, and that, you know, maybe it's only $30 for the eyeliner or whatever. But guess what? If they use it and they use one a month times 20 years, the lifetime value for that customer is very, very high. So what happens is that's where many other companies usually attack, because only a $30 item, it's called brushing. So they'll go in and buy the item. So, you know, a competitor will through a buyer's account. Then they'll ship it off to anybody in the world. I mean, you can look up brushing. This is what it's called. And then great. Then somebody receives, you know, eyeliner. And I'm like, I don't need eyeliner. Like, why did I receive this eyeliner? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because now somebody's a verified purchaser. And so, and guess what? Now if they can knock you down, they can win that customer over, right? And then in theory, the lifetime value is very high. We don't see as much fraud happening on, you know, if you have a bike that's worth $5,000, I mean, you as a competitor are going to go buy 10 bikes for 50 grand to ship them to anybody in the world to give them a bad review? That probably doesn't make sense, right? Because a bike is, in theory, you buy one every 5 years or 10 years, right? It's not like you're buying it each month. And so those are the kind of things that we look at. Now, when it comes to actually filing cases with Amazon and whether it be like batching or whether we send individual ones, it really depends on the review and the category. And it depends on the department that we're filing with as well. So, you know, we do vendor central, seller central, we do brand registry, escalation emails, emails directly to Amazon. We have multiple departments that we can file with, and we've gotten so good over the years that we can, now we look at reviews before we go, okay, now who do we file with? And we got to kind of test this. Now we have, like I told you earlier, we have 700 brands that we work with, and we removed over 16,000 reviews. Now we've gotten really good to say, hey, this is where we want to take these types of reviews with Amazon. Let me repeat that we don't remove the reviews, Amazon does. We just know how to file the cases, which departments to file with, terminology to use. Yeah. A lot of stuff that's taken a long time to figure out, but you know, here we are.
Cool, cool. Now, when it comes to the timelines, on average, like, I wonder, like, how long does it take to remove one of these reviews? Because as we mentioned, if you're going to be proactive when it comes to this, so it's important to understand, you know, how much in advance you need to be ahead of certain events to make sure you have enough time. So are we talking weeks, months? What is usually the average that you see some of these cases taken?
Yeah, so it depends on obviously what it says in the review, depends on who we're talking to, which department we're filing with. Also depends on who we're filing with and whether those people are going to do anything or not do anything, right? That's obviously a big variable as well, right? I mean, we know that we're going to feel very comfortable filing multiple cases. If somebody said, this is an effing terrible product, well, effing being a cuss word, we're gonna keep filing cases. That's why we feel comfortable when we're fully compliant with Amazon, is at the end of the day, we can all look at this and say, hey, that shouldn't be up there. What we're really looking for is the customer service person that says, hey, I agree with you, right? It takes the time to take a look at that. And then they go ahead and remove that review. So that's the timeline for it, though. Once again, depends on category, what the review says. I tell people, and this is not an amazing answer, but it's a realistic answer. I tell people it could take 24 hours to 24 weeks, which is a terrible answer, right? Like, I mean, not a great, because nobody wants to hear that. But we have had clients sign up, and within a few days, we've seen reviews be removed. Some of them take a little bit longer. And we know kind of with some categories, there's a higher success rate. And, you know, once again, there's certain things that we know. But our goal, once again, because we're all success driven, which means, you know, they only pay for reviews that actually get removed. So when people come to us and say, hey, it's been 1 month, what's going on? I'm like, I want to get those removed just as badly as you do, right? I mean, that's how we get paid as well. So, you know, and obviously I want to, you know, my goal is to make sellers happy. They're happy. Great. We get paid. Yeah. That's a party bonus. But my goal is to get as many reviews removed as possible that are against Amazon's guidelines. So we always have that goal. Our goal is the same as our clients, right? We want to be able to do that because that's how we make money and that's how the client's happy. We have this third party, Amazon, is we have to, they have to say yes or say no. You know, and that's the thing. So we always have that as a third party, because I can't, there's nothing I can do to expedite that. We have our certain process. We have the timelines that we wait when we file with certain departments, because we don't want to bombard Amazon or anything. So, you know, we've learned these processes over the years.
Cool, cool. Now, when it comes to the negation, the removal of some of these negative reviews, like, are you experiencing that some reviews that are more difficult than others to remove within the ones that can be removed? And so which are those?
So we do find that, you know, when there's reviews or certain reviews that maybe if somebody's clicked that it's helpful a lot. So even if it violates Amazon's guidelines, if we see that 100 people have clicked that it's helpful, those aren't impossible, but it becomes a little harder because Amazon says, yeah, but people feel that this is helpful. Now, the issue with that is guess what? It could be a fake review and somebody hired somebody else to click helpful 100 times. Yeah. So is it really helpful or is there fraud going on there? So it's we have to kind of be able to assess that, or Amazon does, right? And say, hey, is this truly a good review? But most of the time, we'll still file on those and we have a good chance of getting removed, but they are going to be a little harder because once again, Amazon looks at it as, hey, just not any humans looking at it, just going, hey, people found this helpful, so we should leave this up there. So what we, you know, obviously with what we do with monitoring, we look at that and I go, hey, if you had 100 people found this was helpful, guess what? When this review, we're monitoring you today moving forward and that review came in tomorrow, well, guess what? Now, before anybody has a chance to make that it's helpful, we can file a case on it. So once again, that's being proactive, right? Going and knocking that review down before anybody can click that it's helpful. That is our goal, right? Now you don't have to worry about that because we're going to be on top of it. But the cleanup takes a little bit of time. You know, we got to kind of look at a few things. We do see that, you know, obviously any of the stuff that the main things that we file on are cussing, competitors, you know, hate speech, any of those types of things. And then FBA, those are going to be the core of what we do. There's obviously a lot of things, obviously with Amazon's guidelines that we take a look at. But for the most part, those are the main things that we take a look at. And those are the ones that we've had probably the highest success with.
Cool. So now another thing that I guess people might ask you as well is like, how do I know how many negative reviews I have to remove to make an impact on my score, right? Because let's say you have 1,000 reviews, right? And you want to impact the star rating. Sometimes removing one star review is not good enough. So I guess, do you have like a formula on approximately how this calculation works? And if so, can you give some insights there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, at the end of the day, we actually have two calculators. So we have one calculator, which is a calculator we've had for the last probably year and a half. And I didn't even tell you this. So you can tell you're good at interviews because you're like, you're leading me in a direction that I haven't even told you about what we have coming out. And for some reason, you knew to ask the question, which I love. Yeah, we actually have we're calling it a super calculator, an ROI calculator that actually what the client can do, they can actually put in their numbers, their revenue, and it'll actually pump out some information on, once again, approximately how many critical reviews we need to remove to be able to go up to the next star rating. We also might put in BSRs there as well, because you know you can remove 10 stars and you don't know if your BSR changed, that can be a good thing, right? You don't always make it up to the 4.3 from a 4.2, but if your BSR is heading in the right direction, you know, that's another thing that we want to take a look at. From the beginning, because we were the first company to do this, we were the ones that said, hey, look at the star rating, which is awesome. But you really want to look at the BSR, because usually when you remove a critical review, a 1, 2, or 3 star, well, let's give you an example. If you remove a 1 star, that's equal to anywhere from 5 to 20 five stars, right? There's other people that evaluate what that is, but it's weighted pretty heavy, especially if it's a current one star, an older one star, because it's not quite as relevant, because there's some, you know, it starts to kind of fall off weight wise because of your history. So if we're able to knock that thing down, then guess what? You guys should be able to, that BSR should be able to get you in a good position. And then if we can get you back up to where, you know, you're showing a 4.3, that's when good things are really happening. And so, you know, we have about a 10% success rate overall categories. We get into some of the other categories. We've been able to get up to 15 to 20 on some of those, but we like to commit to 10%. We feel like that's a number that we've consistently been able to hit for what's getting almost all of our clients.
Cool. Now, when it comes to these fighting negative reviews, I guess I have some cases in mind. I'm sure maybe you have experienced, like, if a seller comes to you, for example, that has suddenly over a month received 10 negative reviews compared to a seller that has received only one negative review. And what I try to get with this is, like, sometimes having many negative reviews could actually be to your advantage because you have a case that you've been attacked, I guess, right? So I guess when it comes to the frequency of some of these negative reviews, is that something that sometimes can play to your favor? Because then you can use that in terms of that's clearly something happening that is being skewed. It's not the nature of the market, right?
Yeah, this is what happens. And I explain this to people, and I always try to be very kosher about how I say things. And what I mean by this is this. And so I tell people, hey, listen, when you only have 10 critical reviews in total, let's say we remove one. Well, that's 10% of your critical reviews. That's a huge number. Now, with a 10% success rate, there's some people that maybe we get zero, and there's people we get 2 out of 10. So it's an average, right? So what I tell them is, the more critical reviews you have, once again, not recommending going out and getting more critical reviews so you can pay me. That is not the goal here. But the more critical reviews gives us more data, right? When we can look at that and start tying reviews in together, like you said, and saying, hey, wait, there's something going on here. Right? Because what happens when you get attacked, that they just assume because you have whatever 100 reviews that nobody's going to be able to find it. Exactly. Well, we can. Right? Yeah. So they're like, hey, we'll just kind of do this a little bit here and there. And we go, okay, wait a second. The same seller bought your product 5 times. And it's like, if you hate a product, how many times do you buy it again? Like, yeah. 2 times, yeah, 3, you don't, yeah. Right? That's, yeah. Statistically, we don't do that. So what happens, it gets flagged in our system. Then we go and take a look at that buyer's account. And we go, and hey, guess what? If they just happen to be buying your competitors and only giving them 5-star reviews and your products are very similar, that raises a flag. If you only have 10 critical reviews and they're all from different people, we call it a RICO case. Like, you know what a RICO case is? Where they would do like all the mob, right? They would try to tie all the mobsters together and build this big case, right? Well, and so now what we do is the more data we have, the more we can start putting those points together, right? So the more reviews that we file on, obviously the higher success rate we're going to have, because if we only have 2 to file on and we have a 10% success rate, well, guess what? Like, what are the odds there, right? And it's like, if it happens, everything's amazing. The clients are super, super happy. If it doesn't happen, and I'm very realistic about that, of saying, hey, like, what are we looking at here? The more critical reviews, the more opportunities we're going to have to be able to, you know, build an escalation case, do these different things that are going to be good. But once again, not saying get more critical reviews. Yeah. My goal is not that. It's just the more data we have, it's better for us to be able to file and get things removed.
Love it. I mean, Shane, I think we covered so many interesting points. And now for the last couple of minutes I have, like, is there any last maybe advice or tip you want to give regarding this topic?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, you know, since we've chatted, obviously it's been a few years, I've seen you at a number of events, but what I've been really, really excited about is, and I've been saying this, I've been on hundreds of podcasts. You can go back to 2 years ago when we first had me on. I've always said the same thing. Our thing is to help sellers, right? Like, obviously I want to be profitable. I want to have a profitable business, but I come from the land of abundance and I want to help people, right? Like, I was raised by hippies. So I'm like pretty much a hippie kid, right? I was love and hugs, and those were my things growing up, right? So I always like to push that forward. And so we actually have a thing called an Amazon review checker, and it's the exact software that we've created and used. They can go to the website. We'll put a link here in the show notes as well, but you can go to the website, tracehughes.ai. It's right there at the top, or you can click on the link down below. And what that'll do is it'll pop up and it'll say, hey, you can put in a ASIN. Whatever ASIN you want, assume it'll probably be a hero ASIN or somebody, or an ASIN you feel like just got attacked. Well, what happens is you go ahead and click, you know, go for it or go or enter, whatever it is. And then what will happen is you get an email. It'll say, verify your email address. And then guess what? We actually are going to create a report for you. We run it through the same software that we use internally for our team that we do more, you know, we're more of like a white glove service. We do all the work for you. This is something where you're going to do it yourself. You get the report. It'll talk about your last 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 reviews that violate Amazon's guidelines. It'll tell you exactly what was violated Amazon's guidelines. And you can take that and you can create a report with Amazon and you can go ahead and file with Amazon. And we also have a PDF that we created on where to file and how to file and do those types of things. So we'll include that. You have the PDF. We give you email addresses. We give you all this stuff. I'm giving you the keys to the castle, right? And you get to use the software for free. That's free 99. That's no paying anything. That's no cash out of your pocket. It's pretty cheap last time I checked. It's not how I'm going to feed my kids, but it's how you're going to feed your kids. You're going to go in there. You're going to put in your ACE and you're going to make that happen. You can go take a look at that. You can file cases with Amazon. And if you guys have any questions and you can't get those things removed, guess what? We'll always be here. We'll be your backup to the backup. But you guys can go give it a try on your own. And I'm really hoping that sellers are going to be successful.
Love it. I mean, Sean, thank you so much for that. I'm going to make sure I put all the information down below. And in case people want to reach out to you, sorry, how they can find you.
Yeah, you can reach out to me at shane@tracefuse.ai. So it's very, you know, shane@tracefuse.ai. And you also can follow me on LinkedIn. I'm not going to say popular, but we get a little bit of traction on LinkedIn as well. Yeah, I'm getting about 300,000 to about 1 million impressions a month, which is pretty, I'll take that. Last 6 months, we've been going hard in the paint, you know, making that happen. So if anybody wants that, you guys can follow me on LinkedIn as well. We give some good information as well. We're always just trying to help sellers and make things better for them.
Awesome, Shane. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and see you in the next one. Yeah.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.